Hey, I'm excited to be here and to continue. We've been studying the book of Matthew all year long, and the past few weeks we've been digging deep into the Beatitudes. And I don't know if you've noticed this so far in the Beatitudes or not, but the Beatitudes have an interesting way of challenging us to look at the world a little bit differently. And they have the ability to really impact and change each and every one of us and how we live. And you know, I look around at the world today and I see a few ways that I think that change would be a very good thing. And one of those is a lack of unity. Have you noticed that there is a lot of division in the world today? You look across the world and there seems to be these divisions of Christians versus Muslims, of immigrants versus natives, rich versus poor. And in our country, we see similar types of divisions. The recent clash that happened in Charlottesville and our last election, it just seemed to magnify these divisions. So you have your NPR listeners and you have your Fox News viewers. You have people who think that climate change is a significant threat and people who think it's no big deal. And fall is coming, and so there's the ever-present in this part of the woods of Packers versus Vikings, right? It's that time of year. And if you've been around church very long, you've probably noticed that there can be a lack of unity at church too. I'm the marriage and family pastor, and so I talk to a lot of people who are struggling with relationships in their families, and I see an awful lot of division in families. I talk to parents who haven't spoken to a child in years, sometimes decades, or siblings who haven't spoken for so long they don't even remember why they haven't spoken, or married couples who live and share a house together, but they haven't had a meaningful conversation in years and years and years. So this division that we see in our families and in our churches and all across our world, it runs through every single human heart. And last week, Michael put up a long quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I just wanted to take a piece of that quote and remind you of it this morning. It goes like this: the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor through classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. And the Apostle Paul, he said it like this in Romans 7:15: I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. So Paul's describing what goes on inside each and every one of us if we're really honest with ourselves. So do you know what he's saying here? This is the idea that we all know that having regular exercise in our life is a good thing for us. So with every intention, you set the alarm a little bit earlier. This time you're going to get up and you're going to hit the treadmill and you're going to work out, right? And then it rings, and you're so comfortable in your bed. You just reach over, hit the snooze, or maybe just turn the alarm off altogether. Or maybe you're someone who's decided, after work, that's when I'm going to work out. So you come home with absolutely every intention of putting on your workout clothes and going out the door and heading to the gym or whatever it is for you. But as you pass by the sofa, as you see the big bag of chips, as you see the remote control, you just feel drawn into that. And pretty soon, the bag of chips is gone, and you burn through a couple of seasons of whatever it is you're binging on Netflix. So this is a universal condition. It happens to every man and every woman. And maybe you don't relate to those examples that I gave you. Maybe you are a dedicated exerciser. And if you are, good for you. That's a wonderful thing. But everybody has something. And maybe your thing is that what you need to do is, instead of going off to the gym, maybe what you need to do is spend some time having some hard conversations that you've been putting off. Maybe you need to spend some extra time at the feet of Jesus. So this problem of internal division and turmoil, no matter how you slice it, we all are impacted by it, and it really can negatively impact your relationships. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, this division that is in every single one of our hearts and how it can be healed. So I'm going to start out by praying and then we'll get going. So Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that you've given us your word and that from it we can learn how we can live. And thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we invite you in even more right now. And we admit that right now there is division in our hearts. And we ask you to come in and show us right where you want to do some work. And we just open our hearts up to you, Father, right now. And say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So our passage today is Matthew 5, verses 8 and 9. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So in the Beatitudes, Jesus uses a lot of interesting words. And some of them, they're not really easy to understand at first glance. For example, this phrase, pure of heart. It's not something that we say. But what does it mean to be pure of heart? It's something we want to pay attention to. Because right there in the verse, it says, if you're pure of heart, you'll see God. So sometimes it can be helpful to do a little bit of research and kind of dig in and learn how were words used differently when the Bible was written. And the way Matthew and his Jewish friends would have used the word heart is really different than the way that you and I use it today. So we think of the word heart and we think of this organ or this muscle and it pumps blood through our bodies. Or maybe we think of it as a place where our emotions lie. We might say something like, that broke my heart. Or in my heart of hearts, I desire this or that. But when Jesus was walking around the earth, the heart, it encompassed way more than feelings. In fact, it was our complete and total personality. Your willing, your thinking, and your feelings. So the Jews of the time, they wouldn't understand this division that we make, especially here in the Western world, we make between our mind and our hearts. The heart is the whole self. Your heart is who you really are. Okay, so then there's the word pure. Again, a word that we don't use very often. And the word purity, it means unmixed or uncontaminated. We talk about things like pure maple syrup, pure gold or silver, pure spring water. It means nothing else is added. It has complete integrity. Another way to think about purity is undivided. So when Jesus is talking about a pure heart, he's talking about the problem of our divided hearts. And many of us feel this way. We want to follow Jesus with everything that we have. We want to love him fully and completely with every moment of our lives. But then there's this other part of me, and I just want to do what I want to do. One part of me wants to give control over fully and completely with every single thing. And then there's this other part that just wants to hold on to that one thing. Maybe for you, it's your finances. Maybe for you, this idea of giving a tenth of your income back to God, it just doesn't sit right. It's hard to do. I'm just not ready for that step. Or maybe for you, it's your sexuality. You know what the Bible says about sex. Sex is reserved for the coveted relationship of marriage. But you know, you like having sex with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I just want to hold on to that piece. I don't want to wait until I'm married for that piece. So whatever it is, all of us have this struggle deep inside of us. And maybe you don't see it as sort of a God and me thing, but everyone is looking for more inner peace. Everyone has some sort of division within their soul. There's divisions in the way that we live. There's division in the language that we use in one place or another place. Who we are in public. Who we are in private when nobody's looking. Who we are at home. Maybe you tell different jokes when you're with different friends. Maybe even dress differently in different situations. Jesus is asking us today to look at our hypocrisy. The way we change ourselves depending upon who we're with. Do you ever feel like you're just playing games with God? Well, God wants to eliminate every false thing in your life, every sham, every mask that you put up. And when we do this, and when we're willing to be free of all of those masks and all of those divisions in our life, and be exactly who God's made us to be, then and only then can we live the lives that God intended for us to live. Do you ever get really tired of trying to be someone else? Trying to act like you've got everything pulled together when really your life is kind of falling apart? Pretending like you really aren't struggling with any deep issues? Well, until we get really honest with God and the people around us, you will never experience the kind of healing that you're looking for. You can never be healed of who you pretend to be. Let me say that again because it's important. You can't ever be healed of who you pretend to be. We need to learn to be real with God and real with each other, and even real with ourselves and our own feelings. So how does someone become pure of heart? Well, there's two parts to this thing. Like most of life, there's God's part and there's our part. God's the only one that can do the supernatural work that it takes to change our heart. Only he can do that, and he wants to do it. Look at what he says in Malachi 3, 2 and 3. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings of righteousness. God acts like a refiner, a purifier of silver. And do you know how a refiner knows that the purifying process is complete, that the silver, the gold is completely pure? It's when he or she looks into the molten silver or gold and can see their own reflection back, when it becomes like a mirror and they actually see themselves. Isn't that interesting? And that's just what God wants. God wants to see his own reflection in your life and in my life. He wants to see the image of Jesus. So sometimes he turns the heat up so that that dross and that slag can be pulled off. That's what happens in the process of refining silver and gold. It gets heated, and up to the top bubbles all of the impurities, and they get pulled off, and then it gets heated up again, pulled off until the process is complete and you have pure gold or pure silver. So one of the ways that God turns up the heat is by allowing difficulties to come our way. Problems, troubles in your family, problems at work, financial difficulties. He allows that stress to come into our lives. So here's the truth. God is teaching us through the hard times. It's a reoccurring theme in all of Scripture. If you've read Scripture, you've seen this time and time again, that God uses suffering and trials to bring us closer to himself. Here's one passage that talks about this. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trouble. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. So have you considered that God wants to use your present circumstances and the difficulties that you're facing to do something in your heart? Here's something that I've learned through 45 plus years of following Jesus. And that's when I get upset, when I get mad, angry, frustrated, sad, whatever it is, and usually I'm mad at someone or something or some situation or possibly even at God and what he has or hasn't done. If I will look at my own heart, if I'll cry out to Jesus and say, God, show me what's going on here in my heart. What needs to change in my heart? What kind of work are you trying to do in my heart? My God is so faithful to come right alongside of me and say, Casey. And it almost always hurts to say, Casey, right here, this is the sin that you haven't seen, or this is the sin that you're stuffing down and you're not being willing to look at. This is the area in your life where you need to give. This is who you need to forgive, Casey. He is so faithful. So here's a life-changing tip. Don't just pray for deliverance from your difficulties. Pray for transformation through difficulties. When life's challenges come your way, and they will, if they haven't, you haven't had enough birthdays, they will. And when they do, get alone with Jesus and say, what do I need to pay attention to in my heart? One of the greatest sources of purity in our life is a healthy response to pain. Now, pain, it's not the only way that we grow in our spiritual lives. We also grow through spiritual disciplines, by practicing spiritual disciplines like prayer, like reading scripture, like serving, like giving and tithing. But oftentimes, it's in the pain that God really gets a hold of us, that he really gets our attention. And there's all sorts of kinds of pain out there, isn't there? There's a pain of rejection, pain of being misunderstood, the pain of loneliness, the pain of loss, the pain of separation, the pain of financial hardships, physical pain. But God is absolutely always at work. He's always right there to come alongside of you in your pain. So that's God's part. But we have a part to play in this as well. His part is essential. But we have a role to play in our hearts becoming pure. So do you know, want to know what one of the greatest secrets of emotional and spiritual growth is? You can write this down. Emotional growth and spiritual growth is largely a function of how you respond to the pain in your life. So like I said before, it's not the only way that we grow. But if you are a person who regularly avoids pain and chooses the easy route, maybe you're the person that instead of choosing to study, you choose to play. Or maybe you're the person that is avoiding the pain of loneliness and you try to medicate it away with Netflix or with partying. Or maybe you're the person who simply avoids the pain of hard work. Or maybe you're avoiding the pain of those difficult conversations that you need to be having. If you're constantly avoiding painful situations, you'll be missing out on the greatest opportunities for spiritual and emotional growth. The way to an enlargement of our soul, the way to a pure heart, is to face your pain and acknowledge before God, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I'm afraid, I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm sad, but I will not medicate it away. I will not go to something or someone other than you. Instead, I'm going to turn to you, Jesus. I'm going to be transparent with my pain. This is your part in purifying your heart, bringing your pain to Jesus. And you need to keep bringing it to him over and over and over again until it becomes as natural as breathing is to you. Until with every heartbeat you say, Jesus, I feel empty. Be my satisfaction. Be my healer. Be my companion. Turn off the TV. Hang up the phone. Get off social media and allow yourself to feel all that you're feeling and then bring that to God. That's the way to purity. So I want to give you an example of someone that I met recently who I think has as pure of a heart that I've ever seen before. Recently, I've spent 4 weeks traveling in East Africa, And while I was there, I spent a fair amount of time thinking about these verses because I knew that I was going to be coming here today and talking to you about them. So I asked God repeatedly, will you show me examples that I can use when I talk to you today? Well, one afternoon, we were in a small village in Tanzania, and we spent about 4 hours walking along mountain paths visiting elderly widows. And we came upon this one woman's home, and she invited us to come in. Her floor is covered in dirt and not very even. There's nothing covering the door, and there's nothing covering the one window that you see. The room that you can see there is her kitchen, and I guess what you would consider a living room. She had two pieces of furniture in that room that we sat in together. She's nearly blind, like most of the elderly women are, because they cook in one corner of the kitchen, and the window that you can see is open, drags the smoke across into their eyes, and so most of them are nearly blind after cooking for years with no ventilation. So we came in, and I asked her if there was anything that I could pray for her, and she said no, she just wanted to pray with me. And so, together, embracing each other, I in English and her in Swahili, we worship Jesus together. And this is the most significant Holy Spirit moment that I have ever experienced in my life. I have no more words to describe it to you than to say what I just said to you. But it was amazing. And I'm sure that I walked away from it, having gotten much more out of it than she did. But as I walked away, I felt like God said to me, Casey, there's your example of a pure heart. This is a woman who's been transformed through her pain. She didn't ask me to change anything. She didn't even ask me to pray to have things change for her. No, she was simply content to worship our Lord together. So why should you and I desire to have a pure heart like the widow I met on the mountain? Well, again, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If you have impurities in your life, they limit your intimacy with God. And that's the bottom line here. We limit our intimacy with God as we allow impurities to stay in our lives. The sign of the kingdom of God breaking through into our lives, that's when God, the King, gets his rule and way in our lives and on the earth. The sign of that is a healing of this divided heart. The division that's in our world, it comes together when God's rule and reign comes in and breaks through. So my friend, my new friend up on the mountaintop, her heart wasn't divided. She had learned to worship God despite her troubles and her difficulties. And she has an intimacy with Jesus that I want. Well, let's look at the next verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So what is peace? Well, basically peace, it's more than just maybe this inter-tranquility that you might think of. It involves that, of course, but you just sitting alone and having this internal peace, it's not enough. From a biblical perspective, from a Jewish Old Testament perspective, peace is where we get the word shalom. And it means life as God intended it to be. I want to live that life. Don't you? I want to live the life that God intended for me to live. So this peace, it's a wholeness, it's a health in all parts of our lives. It's a coming together with our world, with other people, with ourselves, and with God. It's a wholeness, it's a healing, it's an end to this division in every single aspect of our lives. And here's what peacemaking is not. Peacemaking is not plastering over the cracks and pretending like everything's okay. Because sometimes it's not okay. I love the metaphor that Jeremiah uses here. Jeremiah 6:14. They dress the wounds of my people as though they were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Jeremiah is describing serious dysfunction here, pretending that things are okay when they're not. Do you do that? I do. But this isn't the way to real peace. A peacemaker is someone who's painfully honest in relationships. A peacemaker is someone who admits there's a problem here. There's failures here. When they admit that they're at odds with someone, that there's tension in the relationship. And peacemakers point people towards God. They share what Jesus has done. A major cause of unrest and hostility and broken relationships is that human beings have turned their back on God. And a peacemaker is someone who brings the good news of peace. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We employ you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Be reconciled to God. This is the greatest peacemaking message ever. Be reconciled to God. Your life is in turmoil. You lack peace inside. You're anxious. You have trouble sleeping. Everything around you feels chaotic. Your family's a mess. Your finances are a mess. Your relationships are strained. Well, here's the good news of peace. Be reconciled to God. So right now, if you've turned your back on God, turn around, repent, face God fully. It's time to turn the control of your life over to him. The fundamental division in the entire world is between us and God. Our root problem, it's a vertical problem, not a horizontal one. It's impossible to solve the other problems in your life until you deal with the root problem. When you're at war with God, you can't possibly look beyond yourself. You can't possibly get beyond your own needs. When you're at war with God, then you're going to be at war with the people around you. You've had this experience. You've seen people who are all consumed with their self, their issues, what's happening with them. But peace with God, it can be yours. It's why Jesus came to the earth. He came to make peace between you and God. Jesus takes everything on himself, everything that we've done, said, thought, everything that goes against God. He took all of that for all of us on himself when he went to the cross and died for us. And that was why he had to come and do that. So what you and I need to do to receive the peace is begin by acknowledging and thanking God for sending his son and thanking Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. So do you know this peace that I'm talking about? Do you live in this peace day in and day out? Do you share this peace with other people? When was the last time you embraced the role of being a peacemaker and sharing your story of faith with someone else? Peacemakers, they disturb the status quo. Peacemakers are not people who let sleeping dogs lie. They disturb the ground when they're going after those roots. And they cause conflict. When you seek peace, you're going to encounter a little bit of trouble. Have you noticed that in life? Listen to this quote from E. Stanley Jones. He was a missionary in India. He said this, "People hate to be disturbed, even for the better." And Dom Eldon Camaru, he was a retired Archbishop of Brazil, he once said this, "When I fed the poor, they called me a saint. When I asked why the poor are poor, they called me a communist." When you begin to go after the root cause of conflict, you're going to disturb the peace. I find this to be so very, very true. In my job, people come in and they talk to me about their problems, which is good. That's what I do. So they come in and they tell me about this situation, this person that's making my life difficult. And my job is to say, what's God doing in your heart? What's going on in your heart? How are you responding to this situation? And you know, that can be hard work. It doesn't come very naturally. These beatitudes, they don't come naturally, and neither does peacemaking. But when the kingdom of God has gotten into you, you'll begin to wage peace. Peacemakers are people who are poor in spirit. They're humble. They mourn. They mourn for the sin in their lives, and they mourn over the situations across the world. They're meek. They're not proud and self-righteous. They don't stand above others. Peacemakers aren't the people who pretend that they have everything right and they're going to correct you out of some place of being superior. No, they're pure in heart. And oh, we need this. We need this so desperately in our world today, don't we? We need leaders who will firmly and humbly stand up and say, that's wrong. What happened in Charlottesville was wrong. And when someone tells a joke that belittles anyone else, it's wrong. And when those of us who are in the majority, those of us with power, we don't go out of our way to make peace, it's not okay. All of us, we need to ask God, what do you want me to do? What's my role in making peace? And you know, Michael challenged us last week, and Brian talked about it again this morning. I think Michael actually double dog dared all of us to meet with someone who has a different view than you, maybe somebody who voted differently than you did in the last election, and to sit down and chat with them and talk with them. And maybe you did it, great. If you did it, let us know how it went. But maybe you didn't do it, and maybe the reason you didn't do it is because you thought, really, what difference is it going to make for me to have that conversation with someone? Well, listen to this. I heard this in the news this past week. There's this guy, his name is Daryl Davis. He's a blues musician, and he has what some people might consider a pretty interesting hobby. Over the past 30 years, Davis, a black man, he decided that he would start befriending Ku Klux Klan members. And he says once the friendship blossoms, that very often the Ku Klux Klan members, they'll realize that their hatred, it's been misguided. So Davis, he started talking to these members, and he says that over the course of these 30 years, 200 Klansmen have given him their robes. And he keeps them. He puts them in a room and he keeps them because he says that it's a reminder of the dent that he has made in racism simply by sitting down and sharing a meal with someone. So let's give it a try. Let's do it this week or next week. And maybe you're someone who doesn't even know anyone who voted differently than you do in the election. Well, guess what? I do. Come and talk to me. I'd love to connect you. And then I'd love to hear how that goes afterwards. So let's take a risk and do that. So what does this peace cost? Let's look at the text again. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Jesus is saying that peacemakers share the characteristic of God, the character of God, and the character of Jesus. And they came in this world to bring peace. Christians, we're not supposed to be professional critics. We are not to go around pointing out everything that's wrong with other people. We're not supposed to be mean. We shouldn't sound like we're on the war path. How did God come into the world to bring peace? Did he come to destroy his enemies? No, he came and laid down his life. He came and served. Peace with God costs the life of the Son of God. It's costly to wage peace. And it costs something to serve others. It costs something to humble yourself enough to apologize when you're wrong. It costs to reach across cultural and racial lines because we risk being misunderstood when we do it, and we risk looking foolish. I travel all over the world, and I do this all the time, and I look foolish really, really a lot. But it's okay. People are very gracious when you're reaching out towards them. It's costly to make peace. You know, it's costly to go to the marriage course with your spouse when you don't want to go, but they've been asking you to sign up. It's costly to forgive someone who's hurt you. It's costly not to speak up when someone's railing against you. It is costly to simply listen. And it's costly to take the initiative, to be the first one to reach across the divide and say to someone else, I want to renew our relationship. I want to take whatever steps are necessary to reconcile our relationship. It's difficult, it's costly, it's hard. But this is exactly what the kingdom of God is all about. And it's worth the cost. Because when we do this, when we're willing to take these kinds of risk, then we can live the life that God intended for us to live all along. Will you stand with me? So some of you resonated quickly with the idea that you're living a divided life. There are things in your life that are not the way you know God would intend them to be. So this is a chance to take that first step towards God and say, I'm sorry and I want to make it right. I'm going to invite the prayer ministry team to come. They'll be here. They're simply here just to pray alongside of you. And some of you know that there's someone that you need to reach out to. You have a rift in a relationship. Maybe it's been there a long, long time. And maybe you're pretty sure that it's not even your fault. It doesn't matter. God is calling you to take the first step towards that person. So if you had a name come to mind when I was talking about that, it's not an accident, that's the Holy Spirit. So again, come up and get prayer so you can start moving towards that pure heart that God has for you and living the life that he has. And for some of you, you're being called to be a peacemaker. You're being called to tell other people the good news that they can be reconciled with God. But you're afraid. And you just, maybe you don't even know what the next step is. But you know that God has been calling you into this. So again, I'd invite you to come up and get prayer. Somebody's going to pray for us now. And thank you for being here today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in even more. And where you have touched our hearts, where you have just begun to dig into something. Because I know, Papa, you're doing it with every single one of us. You're doing it with me right now. Don't let us ignore you. Don't let us walk away and stuff it all back down again, Father. Holy Spirit, would you just make it very clear right now what it is that we need to turn over to you. And God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness, that you will walk right beside us every step of the way through this entire process. God, you are so, so good, and we are so grateful for you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for us. And we pray all of this in your powerful name. Amen.